Om agyanati nirandhasya agyanam jana shalakaya chakshuru militam nena tasmai shri guru vinnaha vandeham shri guru shiyataf padakamalam shri guru navaishnavam sha shri rupam sagajatam sahaganarakanatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sagatam kada janasaitam krishna titam nadevam shri radha krishna padam sahaganamitam shri shri Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse and the next verse recommend moderation in yoga practice. The next verse is as follows. Yukta hara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karamasu yukta svapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukaha. Please give the translation. Well, I'll spin. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So this is common sense advice. Apart from practicing yoga, just to live healthily and in this world, it's good not to eat too much, eat too little, sleep too much, or sleep too little. Now, in one sense, the path of bhakti seems quite extreme. Lord Krishna says, Sarvadhaman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Give up all other varieties of religion and just only surrender to me. And there are many such statements of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintayanto mam, always thinking, he's recommending always thinking of Krishna. So this seems quite extreme. We shouldn't think of anything except Krishna. So people often think, well, we should be balanced. Little bhakti is good, but not too much. You see, eating is good, but not too much, and not too little. Sleeping, not too much, and not too little. So also bhakti, not too much and not too little. It's good to do bhakti, one should do bhakti, but not too much. Some people claim like this. We should be balanced. See, a little bhakti, a little bhukti. Bhukti means sense enjoyment. Little TV, cinema. But Krishna says, Savadhaman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Abandon everything else and just surrender to me. So it's good to be balanced in our material activities so that we can fully surrender to Krishna. Actually, there's no balance between material life and spiritual life. Often people ask, what is the balance between material life and spiritual life? So I always answer that the balance is 100% bhakti and everything else nothing. But because we're not ready for that, then we should execute activities in this world in a manner that is favorable for coming to the platform of 100% bhakti. So you may say, well, even if you see you're a sannyasi, you don't have any material duties, but still you have to brush your teeth, you have to do something for the body, at least. Even a sannyasi eats and sleeps. But for one who has fully dedicated his life to Krishna, even brushing the teeth is considered devotional service because it's done to maintain the body so that the body can better serve Krishna. So it's not directly a devotional activity, but because it's done ultimately with the aim of serving Krishna, then it's counted within the realm of bhakti. Vaidiki lokiki chaiva. What is that about? Yakriya kriyate mune. Hari bhakti anukul yaiva. Everything that we do, whether it's according to the Vedas or simply just ordinary worldly activities, that should be done simply in a manner that's favorable for bhakti. So it's not that everyone brushing their teeth is bhakti, but if the one's life is dedicated to Krishna, that's counted within bhakti. And devotee, he cultivates a sense of detachment from this body. Because he knows, I'm not the body. That's the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. But at the same time, within this world, we have to serve Krishna through the means of this body. And therefore, this body should be maintained for the service of Krishna. So on one hand we should be callous to the body, on the other hand we should be, or on the other side, we should maintain it for the service of Krishna. So how do these two things balance? Someone may go, for 2 hours every day to the gymnasium and do exercises because I have to keep the body fit for serving Krishna. And you go for 2 hours exercise, 2 hours massage, and then daily checkup by the doctor, then there's no time for serving Krishna because you're just too busy looking after the body. So it requires some sense of what is, understanding what is the proper thing to do. Just like often we see devotees, they're very enthusiastic to preach Krishna consciousness. Just like Akincha and Krishna Prabhu is very enthusiastic to preach Krishna consciousness. Someone else could translate that. I think everyone understood. Akinchan Krishna Prabhu Adhikamana Utsahi Utsaha Krishna Bhakti Prachara, something like that. So running here and there and not concerned with, you know, so much traveling, rough traveling, and prasad sometimes not, odd times, not sleeping properly, and then after some time the body gets sick. I mean, it's not just him, there are many cases. You can say there are many cases of devotees who have done like this. So it's probably better to slow down a bit and not stop preaching, but look after the body a bit, so take a little care for the body so that it can go on more time for serving Krishna and in better shape. Because it's difficult to preach properly if you have a headache and you're feeling sick, it becomes difficult. And if people, another thing, people might think, well, if our devotees are sick all the time, you know, what's the use of being a devotee? That may be a neophyte person's outlook. Once one of our devotees, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he was eating very little and was very, very thin. So Srila Prabhupada told the sannyasi who was overseeing him that you tell him to eat properly, otherwise people will think our movement is too austere and they won't want to join it. Another time Srila Prabhupada saw one, he was a Western devotee in Mayapur, he just had jaundice and he was very thin. So Srila Prabhupada told the temple president there that you must personally make sure that he eats plenty so that he can gain weight. Prabhupada didn't like to see him looking so thin. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada wrote in one of his purports that to be very fat is not good for spiritual advancement. We have heard that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sometimes he would, one of his big strong sannyasi disciples, very tall, huge, you can still see the photo, he would pinch him and say, "Are you eating ghee?" So to be very thin or to be very fat, these are generally not considered very good for practicing yoga. Of course, some people's bodies are like that. I mean, people are always telling me that I'm very thin, but, you know, what am I supposed to do? If I eat more, I can't digest it. In some people, their bodily constitution is such that even if they just eat a little, they'll always be very big. So not to eat too much and not to eat too little. What is too much for one person and too little for... It'll be different for different people. For one person, some person may eat twice as much as the other because he can digest and he needs that much. His bodily need is like that. But eating out of greed, that is not conducive for bhakti. Srila Prabhupada, he said that just like Bhimsen, one name for him is Vrikodara, means who has a stomach like a wolf, means seems to be always hungry. So Prabhupada said, you can eat like Bhim, but then you should perform activities like him also. To eat like Bhim and sleep like Kumbhakarna, that's not good for bhakti. That's not good for bhakti. Generally, people who eat a lot, they sleep a lot. Very nice life. Eat nicely, sleep nicely. But the generally, it's recommended to try and follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Nidra. Who are the six Goswamis? Who can say? Sanatan, Rupa, Jiva Goswami, Bhatta Raghunath. Where's Bhatta Raghunath Dasa? Gopal Bhatta. Where's Gopal Bhatta from? From Sri Ram. All right. So about them, it said, Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijito. They conquered over eating and sleeping. And all bodily demands. About Raghunath Das Goswami, it said that he would take a little buttermilk in his hand and a few chickpeas. Just that would be his. You take that every day or every 2 days. And the six Goswamis, they would sleep very little, maybe for one danda means 48 minutes. And even their sleeping means they're dreaming of Krishna. But that, as Srila Prabhupada explained, that is not to be imitated. It used to be a fashion in ISKCON to try to forcibly cut down our eating and sleeping.
சில நேரங்களில் நம்முடைய இயக்கத்தின் பக்தர்கள் இது போன்ற முறையில் அதிகமானவர்கள் திடீரென்று உணவை மிக குறைவாக சாப்பிடுவோராக மாறுகின்றார்கள்.
Actually, there wasn't so much emphasis on cutting down eating because devotees used to have wonderful appetites. They used to have amazing appetites. In the Western countries, the taking prasadam was a great attraction for many people to come to bhakti.
வேலையாட்ட பொறுத்தவரை பிரசாதம் உண்பதுதான் நம்முடைய பக்தி இயக்கத்தின் மிக முக்கியமான செய்தியாகும். அதன் மூலமாகத்தான் நாம் பல பக்தர்களை இயக்கத்தில் சேர்த்தோம்.
But devotees used to, like many used to, like forcibly cut down on sleeping.
ஆனால் இது போன்ற பக்தர்கள் மிக சக்தியான முறையில் திடீரென்று உணவு அளவை குறைக்கக்கூடிய நேரத்தில்
You know, they'd do service until late at night, 11 o'clock, and then they'd get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they were very enthusiastic to serve. This is quite common. But the problem is you might not be able to serve properly, or you might get very sick if you do that for very long. And devotees would regularly get in road accidents from falling asleep while driving.
பின்பு பக்தரால் கண்டிப்பாக சரியான முறையில் உறவு
முடியாது. I had the experience, we were distributing books on New Year's Day up until after midnight, and then we were driving back to the temple late at night.
ஒரு முறை எனக்கு அனுபவம் இருக்கின்றது. நள்ளிரவு 12 மணி வரைக்கும் நாங்கள் புஸ்தகம் ஜெயம் செய்துவிட்டு கோயிலுக்கு திரும்பி வந்து கொண்டிருந்தோம் என்னுடைய காரில்.
And everyone was asleep in the car, including me.
நாங்கள் எல்லோருமே காரில் மீது களைப்படைந்து உறங்கிவிட்டோம், நானும் கூட.
And the driver. So I just woke up and saw us heading full speed toward a big tree. So I just managed to pull the driver's arm and they woke up. Hare Krishna. And it was quite common that devotees would bow down to offer their obeisances and they wouldn't get up again. I remember once in Guru Puja, I was woken up 3 times. I was standing. So nowadays devotees they tend to be more realistic about this. Still we have to push ourselves. But there's, I mean, you can't always, you know, just sometimes for the sake of preaching you have to cut down on your sleeping or miss some meal or something like that.
கண்டிப்பாக சில நேரங்களில் நம்முடைய பிரச்சாரத்துக்காக நம்முடைய உணவை குறைக்கக்கூடியவராக உலகத்தை புறக்கக்கூடியவராக நாம் மாற வேண்டும்.
Just like when you all go to Tiruvannamalai for the book distribution, then you stay, you may go 24 hours without sleeping, isn't it, some of you?
உதாரணமாக நாம் திருவண்ணாமலை புத்தகம் செல்லக்கூடிய நேரத்தில்
because it's a great opportunity for distributing books with so many people coming, and it goes on day and night. So to take the opportunity, those who are very dedicated, they'll go on preaching non-stop. Is that every month?
Every month
on the Purnima, but Kartik Purnima is just, that's very big. Every 48 hours sometimes. Yeah. So like that. We might not think that, you know, I have to sleep and this and that. But if you can push yourself, then Krishna will be pleased.
But
you can't go on doing like that unlimitedly, because the body has certain needs. So, as long as we're in this world, we have two identities.
We are
completely spiritual living beings. We have intrinsically, we have nothing to do with this body. But as long as we have this body, we have to act in some respects in terms of the body. And along with the body comes certain social considerations also. Just like sometimes people come newly to bhakti and they think, oh, bhakti is so wonderful, I have to leave my family and everything behind immediately. And but we don't generally recommend that, because people are not ready for that, and there are certain social responsibilities also. It may be, depending on the circumstances. Young men especially, young unmarried men, they may have that opportunity. But even if someone is very strongly inclined to bhakti, and they're married, we don't tell them to come out of out of the married life. Because even if they are very sincere and very strong, that would be a bad example for others who would just give up their families whimsically. Of course, Sri Ramanujacharya left his young wife. And Ramanuja took sannyas. But look what he did after taking sannyas. He was the greatest spiritual leader in all of this area ever. So, if one takes sannyas just because he thinks the family life is bothersome, that is not recommended. That is not good for one's spiritual life, nor does it set a good example for others. That may be one reason, but there has to be, over and above that, the positive motivation to enthusiastically serve Krishna. So all these principles have to be understood very intelligently. Of course, older people who they're married and their children are grown up, then they can fully engage in Krishna's service. So I was saying that everyone has two identities. We are spirit soul, but we're also we're not the body, but we have to act in terms of the body to some extent.
கண்டிப்பாக நமக்கு இரண்டு விதமான நிலைகள் உள்ளன. ஒன்று நாம் ஆன்மீக ஆத்மாக்கள், அதே நேரத்தில் இந்த உடலுக்கு ஏற்ற முடியும் சில நேரங்களில் நடக்க வேண்டிய அவசியம் ஏற்படுகின்றது.
That we're not the body doesn't mean that we don't feed the body. We don't brush our teeth. It doesn't mean that. We may go in the street naked and say, well, I'm not the body, so there's no need to put clothes on it. These are all this misunderstanding. This is madness, if you think like that. So as long as we're in this world, we have to think and act in terms of social considerations. At the same time, cultivating the understanding that we're not the body. And that life is meant for serving Krishna. We should try to maintain health but not become overly preoccupied with maintaining the body. Sensible eating, not eating too much, not eating too often. If some food is not good for us, just we shouldn't take it. Just like we might like very spicy food, but if we have ulcers, it will be very bad for us. Actually, very spicy food will increase the rajagun. So we should take sattvic food, which is not very spicy. So these are some points to be understood. In Buddhism they talk about the middle way. It means a balance in material activity. So this is here in Bhagavad Gita. So, but at the same time we should understand that the extreme need to surrender to Krishna. Is there any question about this? It's an easily understood principle, I hope. But it's often misunderstood. The devotee is not like the yogi who starves himself. Sometimes people become very impressed by someone who just starves himself. So it's good to control the senses. But in and of itself, starving oneself is not a symptom of spiritual advancement. A devotee who chants Hare Krishna and maybe isn't very self-controlled in the matter of eating is actually better spiritually situated than a yogi who is very controlled in his eating but has no bhakti for Krishna. Hiranyakashipu was a great yogi. He didn't eat anything for years. But he was not spiritually advanced. He was absolutely materialistic. That's why devotees, they do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Even when we take prasad, we don't say that, we shouldn't think, well, now I'm going to enjoy prasad, but we say prasad seva. The idea is that we are honoring this because this is offered to Krishna. And we'll take this to honor this and to maintain the body for the service of Krishna. So Hare Krishna. Repeat the question so everyone can hear it. Repeat in Tamil. Well, you can if you like. But practically you can't. The six Goswamis there had fully, even though they appeared in this world, they're actually fully in spiritual bodies, in full, completely spiritual consciousness. Their in mood of bhakti was so intense that they didn't even think about eating or sleeping. Here, why don't you take this mic, because that one's disturbing too much. I don't really need a mic at all. Just move that. I mean, the standard of vairagya that is being practiced is gradually come down. Until recently, it was common that many, many people used to follow every Ekadashi by not taking any water. But nowadays, many people find that very difficult. Means they, you know, they wouldn't, practically for 2 days they'd fast, because they'd be fasting from midday the day before, and then up until the par, yeah, almost 2 days they'd be fasting. And they would stay up all night on the Ekadashi night, doing kirtan. And they wouldn't stop any, whatever other activities they were doing, they would continue with that. It was, they wouldn't take any extra rest or like that. Nowadays it's difficult to find people with the even the physical strength to do like that. So we recommend that people do what is practical for them according to their bodily condition. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. தேவத்திரு பக்தி விகாஸ் மகாராஜ் அவர்கள் கலந்துள்ளக்கூடிய மிக முக்கியமான நிகழ்ச்சி நாளை ஆற்காடு ஸ்ரீ வரதராஜ பெருமாள் கோயிலில் ஏற்பாடு.